Richard Justice is the national baseball writer for MLB.com. He joins us on the Jeff Blair Show. Richard, I know you've covered a lot of postseason games, not to aid you, but, well, you've covered more than I have.
Well, you just did.
I know. Where would you put what Terry Francona did last night, you know, in your own sort of personal, not going to say Hall of Fame, but your own personal list of managerial performances in the postseason? Because it's got to be right up there.
Oh, it's going to be pretty high. Not only that, it's going to be a reference point going forward. And I think the way we've seen in other postseason series, the way we've seen it operate, is you're going to go back and say, okay, maybe that's changed the way we're going to use relievers in games. And I think this has been coming for a while. I know one manager has a couple of young starters that he likes them in the bullpen because he feels like he gives them a weapon. You know, and when the Indians went out and got Andrew Miller, you go, well, wait a minute. Eighth inning? Seventh? I don't quite get this. Well, what they did was they didn't really touch the bullpen. They just said, okay, we're going to use this guy where we need him. Fifth inning, sixth inning, ninth inning, whatever. And he's pitching great, and he is great. And that sort of set the tone for everything. The other thing I think that's key in this series, and the Indians, you know, have become this cradle of general managers. So many of the general managers in the game, I think seven, have some ties to Mark Shapiro and the Indians. And I think one of the things they do with the analytics is they do a great job scouting. And you can see Indians pitchers have consistently pitched the Blue Jays backwards, and it's been very effective. They've seen something in the breaking balls that they like. You know, and the funny thing was the Blue Jays only had two at-bats last night with two runners on base. One of those in the seventh, Josh Donaldson hit a laser that was caught. And the other one was in the first inning when Bauer went out of the game. And later I asked Russell Martin, I said, did Otero, did he do the breaking ball thing to you? And he goes, no, he threw me two fastballs. And he goes, I'm chasing hits right now. But he said he went backwards from backwards. They went back to a traditional way of pitching. and he just tells you they've got what they've done is now they've kind of gotten in their head. So it'll be interesting to see how Kluber approaches it today. But, you know, he's got so many pitches. He can, if you're executing the pitch, it really doesn't matter if it's a fastball or a slider, but it's kind of it's something to watch about how he approaches it. Do they change the game plan on the fly today?
Yeah, Richard, if you're Mark Shapiro, what's this tell you about your team? Watching a Cleveland Indians team basically go right through a lineup for the Blue Jays that's heavily right-handed, easily with two pitches, fastball, whatever your breaking ball is. What does this tell Mark Shapiro he needs to do in the offseason?
Well, I think, first of all, you take a deep breath and go, okay, did we have a good year? We had a hell of a year. And when this series started, they'd won six in a row. In the four postseason games, they'd hit 10 home runs. It was that laser show of an offense. Everything looked good. Their rotation was better than Cleveland's rotation. You know, they came back home, they're down 0-2, but they had their big boys going. They had Stroman and Sanchez going, and Cleveland was going to pitch, let's see, who and what, and so I think the first thing, just because if you lose this series, and history says they're going to lose this series, don't go nuts and think you got to tear up the club. This is a good team that's been to the postseason 2 years in a row. A bunch of teams would like to have this, but obviously they have decisions to make on Encarnacion and Bautista, and there were two stretches this year where Jose Bautista looked like a 35-year-old player, and then that gets into payroll and all of that stuff. So, you know, does he know, you know, do they need to go out and get more left-handed? I can't figure that out. But I know this, when you got Stroman and Sanchez at the front and you got Osuna at the back, you got a great place to start.
I want to ask you this because I asked Jim Rosenhaus this question, and I know you've probably seen Carlos Correa as much as anybody. We've seen glimpses of him. You know, now we're seeing glimpses of Francisco Lindor. I mean, I love Correa, and I admit I had not seen Lindor that much. Can you maybe compare the two of them to me? Because, they're both, again, Richard, this game's going back where it seems like one of the keys to being successful is having that really, really outstanding shortstop and a young one. Young ones.
Yeah, it's been funny to see Ripken on the field, you know. Nomar, A-Rod, those guys wanted to be Ripken. Tulo wanted to be A-Rod, Nomar, those guys. And now Lindor, Bogarts, Betts, Correa, all these guys. I said Betts, he's not a shortstop. But Seager. It's amazing what has happened to that position. Correa is bigger. He's not as flashier defensively. He's not as fast. He is going to be more out of the Tulo mold, I think, as a big player who hits home runs. And you know, the other thing is they both have a certain dazzle about them.
Right.
Both play with a certain energy. The one thing that I noticed is maybe Carlos Correa needs to work on his smile a little bit, because Lindor, like when you're around him and he's smiling, he's so engaging. They're both engaging, but it is a cool thing to watch that kid play baseball.
Yeah, how big has Napoli been for Cleveland? You know, you mentioned the young guys. You mentioned mixing in Santana. Kipnis has had a pretty good year. But you add Napoli, a big power-hitting right-hander, veteran guy that's been there and done it before. You know, he can DH. He can play first. What does he bring, in your eyes, to Cleveland?
Well, it's a reminder that when you have a good season, let's say they go to the World Series, 10 things happen that you had no idea were going to happen. And when you looked at the Indians on the first day of spring training, you say, okay, their rotation's as good as the Mets' rotation. Well, two of those guys are now gone. And I guess three of those guys are now gone because of Bauer. But you think, I don't see the offense coming. Well, Napoli's had a bounce-back year. He's been good. He's been really good. And he's hit home runs in bunches. And this kid, Tyler Naquin, has come up in the minor leagues, a first-round draft pick. And he's provided something. And this Jose Ramirez, I said to one of the Indians, I said, who is Jose Ramirez? And he said, we had no idea. And when they had that 14-game win streak, the guy morphed into Babe Ruth. And so, you know, they didn't know what they were going to get from Napoli. They didn't know what they were going to get from Naquin. They didn't know what they were going to get from Ramirez. They knew Kipnis. They knew Lindor. They liked those guys. So it's strange, and Napoli's a big part of it. But, you know, that's what drives general managers crazy. Sometimes you don't know what you have, and you don't know when it's going to happen. Football coaches call it catching lightning in a bottle. You don't know when the magic comes, and you don't know why you lose it sometimes.
You know, one of the other storylines, I think, to emerge from this series, I think, is Roberto Perez. I mean, when you look at how far this guy's come, and we had Jim Rosenhaus on, and he said, "Hey, don't forget, Yan Gomes is supposed to be the starting catcher here." But you know, I think there's been so much talk about the strike zone and everything in this series, Richard. And I think one of the things we have to point out is Roberto Perez has done a hell of a job, framing pitches, but just kind of navigating this pitching staff through. I mean, as Mike Napoli said yesterday, you know, I mean, yeah, you know, Terry makes the moves and the guys make the pitches, but you know, Roberto's the guy out to kind of trying to make it all work. And, you know, okay, this guy trying to remember what this guy throws and things of that nature. He's really emerged in this series, hasn't he?
Yeah, and what he does is a skill that we're just now appreciating. Terry Francona was talking about Yadi Molina yesterday. He said, you can go back and look at pitches when they played in the World Series. Mm-hmm. Pitches are 6 or 8 inches outside. And forget the umpire. When you look at it, Yadi doesn't look like he doesn't even move.
Right.
And he makes it a strike. And that's what Roberto Perez does. And people, I think all of us underestimate the power of a catcher. A catcher's job, to me, is to get the pitcher in a rhythm and to allow the pitcher, don't think, just throw.
Mm-hmm.
You have to have confidence. And we've heard it, you know, with guys like Roger Clemens talking about the difference in pitching to Posada and Osmus, how they just go out there and it takes so much stress. I trust you. And that's what Roberto Perez does. Yeah, and in this, the Indians, if they win this series, they're going to get all kinds of credit for the scouting, the exposing of the weaknesses and all of this stuff. But Perez is a huge part of that, because those strike calls, they ain't inventing them. They're not all doing themselves. He's doing some of them.